Hello again, friends, and welcome to another hour of celebratory entertainment as we take a trip back in time to the days of yore and hear more great old-time radio entertainment. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to join me around the old part of radio. This is our last program for the year, so I'm featuring a couple of New Year-themed episodes to help us celebrate the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020. First up, we're going to hear from one of the earlier series on radio, Amos and Andy. Amos and Andy began as Sam and Henry way back on January 12, 1926 on WGN Chicago. It took on its later name on March 19, 1928. The series began as 15-minute continual episodes, but began airing 30-minute complete episodes on October 8, 1943. Under this format, it aired until November 25, 1960, a total span of over 34 years. The series starred Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell as Amos Jones and Andrew H. Brown. Today's episode is titled Jackson's New Year's Eve and was first heard at 10 p.m. on Friday, December 29, 1944 on NBC. Enjoy.
Andy, did you hear that? Come on.
Did I hear what?
That whistle. That's the Rinso White whistle.
Oh, yeah, and Rinso means us.
That's right. Rinso gets clothes, Rinso White. And Rinso presents the Amos and Andy Show. Just, and now, our stars, Amos and Andy. Well, it's almost New Year's Eve, and the big event in Harlem is the New Year's Eve party to be given by the socially exclusive Charles Jackson family. At the moment, we find Andrew H. Brown in his office, telling his secretary, Miss Blue, why he knows he will be the only one among his friends to be invited to this smart affair.
You know, Miss Blue, it's a shame that I ain't gonna spend New Year's Eve with my friends this year. But I is the highest society type, and Charles Jackson's only wants them kind of peoples at the party, you know.
Mr. Brown, is the Charles Jacksons really society people?
Oh, sure. They is richly all right. You know, they is the only family in Harlem that's got a cook and an upstairs maid.
An upstairs maid?
Yeah. Of course, I guess the downstairs must get pretty dirty, huh?
It must be almost wonderful to be invited to a real society party and get a beautiful engraved invitation.
Invitation, yeah. To tell you the truth, that's what I'm waiting for. Mine ain't come yet.
Well, if you ain't got your invitation yet, how you know you is invited?
Oh, I'll be invited. Don't worry. You see, I done took the Jackson's daughter, Camellia, out a couple times, and they got to invite their daughter's boyfriend, you know.
That's right, I guess.
Oh, sure. I showed her a swell time on two different nights. Why, the last time I took her out, my bill come to over $6.
It did?
Yeah. I wonder how much hers come to.
Well, Mr. Brown, you mean to say you didn't pay her bill, too?
Well, being a rich gal, she says something about a Dutch treat. You know, she likes me all right. By the way, when is the morning mail due? Maybe my Graves invitation will be in that.
The morning mail come 2 hours ago. There was nothing in it but a bill from your tailor for turning the lapels around on your suit. We only get one more mail before New Year's, and that ought to be here in a little while.
Yeah, well, that's the mail that the invite will be in, all right. No question about that. I sure that that... Wait a minute. Here come Emma.
Well, I'm going in the back office and finish my work.
Yeah, okay.
Well, how is it there, son?
Hello, Amos, hello.
Yeah, well, Andy, I just stopped in to find out what you're doing New Year's Eve. I thought maybe you'd like to go with me and Ruby over there.
Now, wait a minute, Amos, wait a minute.
Huh?
I am sorry that I ain't spending New Year's Eve with none of my old friends this year.
Oh.
This will be the first time I ever missed a New Year's Eve, would you? But, Amos, I was going to a very exclusive party. Only the very high society types like me is going.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're going to a high-class party, and me and Ruby figured that maybe you was invited to the same place we was, so we could all go together.
Well, look, Amos, I am sorry, but let's face the thing.
Yeah.
You was a good enough guy, but we just don't revolve around in the same social circles, that's all.
Yeah.
By the way, where's you invited to?
Oh, I don't guess it'll be very exciting. Me and Ruby are going to a little get-together over at the Charles Jackson.
Yeah, well, it's too bad that we can't all... where'd you say?
The Charles Jackson.
But that's where I was going. Is you sure you was invited?
Well, I guess so, Andy. They sent us an invitation.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I guess they invited you because they want you, because you was a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they figure I wanted that way, yeah. You know, doing me a favor.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You say you got your invitation already?
Oh, yeah, I got it right here in my pocket. Here it is, engraved and everything.
Yeah, pretty, ain't it? Excuse me, Anna, excuse me.
What do you see outside?
Oh, I thought I'd see the mailman across the street, but tain't him. Well, Amos, I guess I'll see you at the Jackson party then. Right now, I got to get over to Shorty's barbershop and start getting fixed up for the affair. Hey, wait a minute, Shorty. What is that stuff you're putting on my hair?
Oh, they're just stuff that, it's a special hair oil. It's got olive oil. It's a pomade that you put, imported hair gel that you make. Just plain lard.
Lard. Lard on my hair?
Yeah.
How much is that costing me?
15 cents and 2 red points.
Two red points.
Mm.
Listen, Shorty, after this, please keep my scalp vegetarian, will you? Say, by the way, Shorty, I want to tell you that this is a nice, smooth shave you done give me.
Yeah, so thank you, Andy. Here, I'll hold up this looking glass so you can see how your hair looks in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, look nice and smooth. Yeah, that's the best... Hey, wait a minute, Shorty. Wait a minute.
Mm?
The way you got that looking glass held up there, I was looking at the back of your head.
You is?
Yeah.
How do it look back there?
Well, never mind how you look. The important thing is how I look. I is going to the richest New Year's Eve party in town. Real society stuff.
Oh, you is?
Yeah.
That's nice, all right.
Yeah, I ain't got my invitation yet, but I know I is going to get it. Too bad, too, that my friends can't be invited to a high-class party like this one.
Yeah, it's bad, all that. You know, Sam, I sure sorry that we can't be together New Year's Eve, Andy.
Yeah, me too, Shorty. But that's how it goes when you is a high society type like I is.
Mm.
By the way, where's you invited to go New Year's Eve?
Oh, I ain't going no place special. I thought I'd stay at home. I'll be by myself. I'll just take it easy and rest. I'm going to the Charles Jackson party.
Well, this is the last mail here, and my invite didn't come. Oh, me. This is going to be some New Year's Eve for me, all right. Well...
Hello there, Miss Lander.
Oh, hello, Lightning. Hello.
What's the matter, Miss Lander? How come you look so down in the dumps?
Oh, Lightning, I is regusted. I takes Camellia Jackson out and shows her big time, and then her mama don't send me no invite to their New Year's Eve party.
Maybe the Jacksons don't approve of you for that daughter.
Oh, you're crazy. Certainly they approve of me. Outside of the fact that I ain't got a job and ain't got no money at the bank, I is the most legible bachelor in town.
Yeah, well, some parents are very stuck up that way. They don't want to see their daughter starve.
Yeah, you're right, Lightning. They must be peculiar people.
I wouldn't feel too bad about them, Miss Andy. The Jacksons is very exclusive, and a lot of people wasn't invited, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Besides, old pal, now me and you can spend New Year's Eve together.
Yeah, but we could, except for one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Me and my wife was invited to the Charles Jackson party.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, so long, Lightning. I'm going over to see the Kingfish. Look like he's the only one left that I can spend New Year's Eve with. Yeah. Springfish. You too.
Yeah, you see, and being one of the reporting citizens of Harlem, it was natural that Jackson sent me the invitation. Yeah, but tell you what, son, you come over and hang around the open window at the Jacksons, and maybe I can toss out a hunk of turkey or something like that to you, you know.
Now, wait a minute, just a minute. I got pride like anybody else. I ain't hanging around no window where I wasn't invited, waiting for somebody to toss me out a hunk of turkey like a dog. Could you make it white meat?
Well, you know, Anna, after the way you took this Camellia Jackson note, I thought sure you'd be invited.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It just goes to show you that where human nature is concerned, you can't trust human nature where it's concerned.
Yeah, I ain't quite figured that out, but I think you got something there, all right. Oh, you know, that Camellia done give you a raw deal.
Yeah, and I was mad.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
The thing that really hurts me is that I done opened my big mouth to everybody, telling them that I was the only one that was going to be invited, and now I was the only one that ain't.
Now, look, Anna, look here. Why don't you just forget it and take out some other gal and celebrate New Year's Eve that way?
Oh, I can't do that. I was broke. That's why I was so happy that I could be with Camellia at her house and not have New Year's cost me nothing. I wish there was some way that I could think of so I could be invited to that party.
Andy, wait a minute.
What's the matter? You thunk of something?
Listen, phone Camellia. Tell her you was coming over to ask her something.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get there, act like you don't know there's giving a New Year's Eve party and invite her out to all the swell nightclubs in town for a big evening.
Well, now, what good is that going
to
do?
Well, you see, Andy, when she hears you is inviting her to all these places, she's going to feel mighty ashamed of herself for not inviting you to the party.
Yeah, that's right. She will, won't she?
Yeah, that's the point, Andy. Now, look here. Then after that, what else can she do but invite you to her party right then and there? Oh, I tell you, son, it can't miss. That is called the art of hinting.
Kingfish, I think you're right. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh, Camellia, Camellia, dear.
What is it, Mama?
Oh, Camellia, a terrible thing has happened, and I feel just awful about it.
Why, what happened?
Why, I just went over the invitation list again, and of all people, I forgot to send one to your boyfriend, Andy Brown.
Oh, don't worry about it, Mama. Andy phoned, and he'll be here any minute. I can ask him then.
Oh, that's fine. I'm suddenly glad I discovered it before it was too late.
Oh, that must be Andy now, Mama. I'll let him in.
Well, say hello to him for me, Camellia. I still have so much to do before the party.
All right, Mama. Hello, Andy. Come in.
Hello, Camellia.
Gee, it's good to see you, Andy.
Look, Camellia, I come over to ask you something.
I got something to ask you, too.
Yeah, well, I'll ask you mine now. Listen, Camellia, how about going out with me New Year's Eve to about three of the biggest nightclubs in Harlem? We'll really have a big time.
Oh, Andy, I'd love to.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry you can't on account of you got it. What'd you say?
I said I'd love to. You know, I was just about to ask you to come to the party my folks are giving. But what's an old party at home compared to the New Year's Eve you've got planned?
Yeah, but, Camellia, don't you think on second thought there your folks might not like you being at your own party?
Oh, no, they won't mind.
Oh, well, I couldn't do that. No, no, I'll cancel my reservations at the nightclubs, and I'll come to your party.
Andy, don't be silly. It's all settled. Now, I'm going to you on your New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm certainly glad there's a new year coming. It's got to have less trouble for me to get into than this one did.
Well, the Kingfish's brilliant idea has hardly gone according to plan. And it looks like Andy has dug his own grave. We'll see if he can get out of it in just a moment. Say, folks, remember the visitor I had last New Year's?
Yes, of course they remember. Nobody can forget me.
Yeah, that's right. He said, hey, wait a minute. Who are you?
You know who I am. I am Father Time. I'm on my way out. But not until I check up on you, Wilcox. Remember that woman in Peoria, Illinois?
You mean the one who used to run her washer for nearly an hour at a time? Well, look, Spirit, I told her about Rinso.
Now she knows it takes as little as a five-minute run per load to get clothes rinsed so white. Don't haunt me, Spirit, please.
Well, what about that woman over in Asheville, North Carolina? The one who used to wear herself out scrubbing every wash day.
Scrub? I told her about Rinso, too. Now she lets Rinso's soapy rich suds soak her clothes clean.
Good, Wilcox, good. Just one more little matter. Did you ever speak to that lady in St. Louis, Missouri?
About doing the dishes with Rinso, you mean? Sure. She's been using Rinso. She says dishwashing is a snap.
Fine. Keep up the good work, Wilcox. You'll be hearing from me next year.
Friends, help me to have a good report next time, will you? Get Rinso. And now, back to the Amos and Andy Show. Looks like Andy is definitely going to spend New Year's Eve alone. By taking the Kingfish's advice, he's gotten himself hooked up for an expensive evening, making the rounds of the best Harlem nightclubs. Andy is broke, and right now he's telling Amos his troubles.
Well, that's the story, Amos, and I ain't got the money to take it to a picture show, much less to three big nightclubs.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing, Andy. Where you are concerned, there certainly ain't no trouble shortage. What is you going to tell Camellia Jackson now?
I done already told her.
What?
I phoned her a little while ago that I was called out of town on business. Oh, Amos, a fine New Year's Eve I'm going to have. Now, wait a minute. Here comes Fred Gwendell.
Well, hello there, boys. Happy New Year to both of you.
Yeah,
same to you, Fred.
Andy, the reason I dropped in was to ask you to do a little favor for me.
Now, wait a minute. I ain't in no mood to do nobody no favor. I is in a mess. And I don't see nobody trying to help me out.
But, Ann, look here. I done been invited to the Jackson party. And since I hear that you ain't going, I want you to do me a favor so I can go.
Oh, yeah. You wants me to do you a favor so you can go. Everybody goes there but me. Well, I ain't going to do you no favor.
Yeah, well, since you ain't going to the party, Ann, at least you can listen to what Fred got to say.
Look, fellas, look. I got enough trouble without listening to either one of you. Now, will you all get out of here and let me alone, both of you? I ain't doing no favors for nobody.
Well, Andy, if that's the way you feel about it, all right, so long.
Wait a minute. I'll go with you, Fred. I got to drive by and pick up the woman that's going to stay with our children so Reuben and me can go to the party tonight. Well, so long, Andy. Sorry you feel like you do, but so long.
They sorry that I feel like I do. They all get invited to the party. But I is alone. And it's almost New Year's Eve, too.
Hello there, Andy.
Well, Reverend Johnson, come in.
Yeah, thank you. Didn't see you at church this morning, Andy.
Yeah, well, I've been pretty busy today, Reverend Johnson. I'll be there next week, though.
Yes, I can understand about people being busy. Yes, a lot of our friends are busy preparing for the new year.
Yes, sir, that's right. That's exactly what I was busy doing, yes, sir.
You know, Andy, preparing for the new year in the right way is just as important as coming to church. Maybe in some cases even more important.
It is, huh?
Yes, you see, Andy, to most people the new year is a symbol of hope and promise for something better. It's the opportunity to erase the mistakes of the past, to make new friendships and to strengthen the old ones. But deeper than that, Andy, the hour of 12, that line between the old year and the new, is actually a horizon beyond which all hope for a better world.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, sir. We're all hoping to find a better world, all right.
But that's a mistake, Andy. Finding implies luck, chance. We don't find a better world. We make a better world.
We do? How do we make it?
Well, by doing things for other people. You see, when you do things for other people, Andy, they love you for it. And when there's love, there can't be greed. And when there's no greed, there's no hate. And where there's no hate, there can be no such thing as war. And that, Andy, is a better world.
Reverend Johnson, you mean that if I do another fella a favor, someday it'll come back to me? Is that what you mean?
1,000-fold. Remember these words, my son. cast thy bread upon the waters.
Cast thy bread. Say, Reverend, I just remember a favor I refused to do for a friend. I'm going out and do it right now, you know it?
I'm glad, Andy. By doing this favor, you'll make this a better world.
Yes, sir. You can count on me. But don't expect too much of a change the first day. Fred, in other words, when you was over there and asked me to do a favor for you, you know, I was a little short with you there. My mind was on something else, and I think that I give you kind of a short answer.
Well, Andy, sure is nice of you to come over here and tell me all that. In other words, you mean that you will do me the favor?
Oh, sure I will, sure. Like Reverend Johnson say, cast a few crumbs of bread on the waters, and you get back loaves of bread. Now, what do you want me to do for you, Fred?
Well, now, look here, Andy. Here's what I want you to do, and I sure will appreciate it, too.
Yeah.
You know I am doing a lot of jobs over at the newspaper there, and one of my jobs is the society reporter.
Yeah, I know that.
And I got some work to do tonight. But if you could do it for me, you see, that would make it so I could go to the Jackson party.
Oh, sure, Fred. I'd be glad to do it for you. What do you want me to do?
Well, now, look here. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm supposed to make the rounds of the best Harlem nightclubs and get the names of the prominent guests spending New Year's Eve at these clubs, you see?
I make the rounds of the best Harlem nightclubs, you say?
Yeah, that's right, Anna. That's exactly right. And the head waiter in each one of them will give you a list of all the guests there, you see? Mm-hmm. Now, here's a press pass that will admit you and one friend to all of them. And by the way, Anna, you being a representative of the press, the management of each nightclub will give y'all all your refreshments and food free of charge. That's what it do.
Boy, that Reverend Johnson really know his stuff, don't he? Oh. This is great. I'll call Comedian till I was back in town. That bread I cast on the water this time is coming back in the shape of a wedding cake. Reverend Johnson, I was on my way over to pick up my gal, Camellia, but I just dropped in to tell you how much I appreciate your advice you gave me, you know, about helping others and getting repaid for it.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Andy.
Oh, yeah. From now on, I was a firm believer in that helping and getting repaid stuff. I ain't never seen nothing work so fast.
Andy, I wonder if you'd do a favor for me right now.
Well, I got a handful of bread. Where you want me to throw it?
Well, there's a young couple, a soldier and his girl. Well, they're waiting in the chapel for me to marry them. I was on my way out to find a witness, but now that you're here...
Oh, sure. I'll be glad to be a witness at the wedding, sure.
Well, thank you, Andy. Yeah, here's the young couple now. Sally, Jimmy, come over here, will you? I'd like for you to meet Andrew Brown.
How you do, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, I do. Congratulations. I suppose now the two of you is getting married. You're going out and have a swell time celebrating New Year's Eve and your wedding both.
Well, we'd sure like to, but I'm afraid we can't do much celebrating. Getting married is taking about all the money we've got.
You mean you two young people aren't going to celebrate your wedding and on New Year's Eve, too?
Well, you see, Reverend, the reason we are getting married so unexpectedly like this is because Jimmy's going overseas any day now. And we just got enough money left for me to get back home.
Oh, well, that's a shame. You could afford to go out somewhere, though, could you?
Well, I don't know, Andy. It's pretty expensive going out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that is right. The cafes are charging and... Say, wait a minute. I got an idea. Why couldn't I give the soldier and his gal here the press pass that... I wonder if I was overdoing this casting the bread stuff.
Andy, what are you thinking about?
Well, I was just thinking that I could give the bride and the groom, that'd help make a better world. Yeah. Look here, Jimmy. You and Sally is going to have a wonderful New Year's celebration for your wedding. Now, listen. Here's a press pass. Both of you go to the best places in Harlem, and it won't cost you a single cent because you get it all. Now, Well, this is great. Back home, four walls, by myself. Had to go get soft-hearted and give that press pass away to them kids. I could be dancing with Camellia right now at some nightclub. This ain't a mess. I wish everybody let me alone. Come in.
Well, hello there, Andy.
Oh, Amos, what you doing here? I thought you and Ruby was at the Charles Jackson party.
Well, we couldn't go, Andy. The woman that was supposed to stay with the children couldn't come, so me and Ruby stayed home. And then Reverend Johnson dropped by, and he told us what you'd done and how you'd be all alone tonight.
Yeah, I guess I was a sucker, spoiling my New Year's Eve for a couple of strange kids. Reverend Johnson told me to cast my bread on the water to come back to me. I was unhappy, Amos.
Unhappy? Yeah. Why, Andy, what you done tonight ought to make you the happiest and proudest man I know. You see, Andy...
Wait a minute. Wait till I answer the phone out in the hall here. Wait a minute.
Yeah, well, take your time, Andy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello?
Andy, this is Fred Quindell again.
Oh, listen, Fred, I couldn't go to the nightclubs for you, but I got a friend of mine that's going, and he'll get you all of the names.
Oh, that's great, Andy, because I was going to ask you to change your plans for me anyway.
What you mean?
Over at the newspaper, I take care of the theatrical news, too, you know.
Yeah.
Well, a girl that just got to town, and she's been invited to a big private party tonight, and I was wondering if you would go with her. You go right to the party, you'll have a swell time.
Well, who is the gal?
Hold your hat, Andy. It's Lena Horn.
Lena Horn? She is the best-looking gal in the country.
Yeah, well, now, look here. Put on your best clothes. I'll meet you in front of your house with an automobile, and I'll take you over and introduce you.
Okay, see you in 10 minutes. So long. Amos, that Reverend Johnson is as right as two rabbits.
What happened?
I done cast some crumbs of bread on the water, and somebody done sent me a bakery. Now, here are Amos and Andy again.
How do you do, folks?
Hello, everybody.
Well, Father Time is about to chop off another year. And before the year passes, we want to again tell you folks how much we really appreciate your friendship and loyalty which you have shown us in the past.
Yes, we are very grateful for the way you have listened to our program each week. Also, for your very nice letters. And we are very grateful for the fact that so many of our friends have tried Rinso through hearing Harlow Wilcox tell about it.
Yes, we feel particularly proud of that because we know you have found Rinso to be a great help to you.
We're going to try to merit your continued friendship during the coming year by giving you the very best shows that we can possibly give.
And now from our hearts, we wish you a very happy new year, hoping that 1945 will bring victory and happiness.
That goes for me too, folks. Good night, and Happy New Year.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that terrific episode. You can always count on Amos and Andy to give you a laugh. That was the Amos and Andy episode, Jackson's New Year's Eve. It was first heard the evening of Friday, December 29th, 1944, on NBC. Next up, we're going to hear from Fibber McGee and Molly. Fibber McGee and Molly was another hugely popular series, which ran from April 16, 1935 until September 6, 1959 in various formats. The series starred Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee, who lived at 79 Wistful Vista, and according to John Dunning was, quote, an incurable windbag. The series co-starred Jim's real-life wife, Marion Jordan, as Molly McGee, Fibber's, quote, long-suffering wife. Today's episode is titled New Year's Dance at Country Club and was first heard at 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday, December 30th, 1952 on NBC. Enjoy.
The Reynolds Aluminum Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The Reynolds Metals Company, makers of Reynolds Aluminum, presents Fibber McGee and Molly, transcribed with Bill Thompson, Arthur Q. Bryant, Dick LeGrand, Gil Stratton Jr., and me, Harlow Wilcox. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Keith Fowler and directed by Max Hutto, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. If houses could talk, they'd be asking many a homeowner to make a special resolution for this new year. They'd say, resolved, that never again shall rain or melted snow pour off my eaves and down my walls to freeze for people to slip on in winter, to make mud for kids to track in summer. They'd say every home deserves good, tight, rust-proof gutters and downspouts. Yes, rust-proof, because a rusted, leaking gutter can be worse than none at all. Well, now, of course, the answer is Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum gutters and downspouts. They cost much less than any other rust-proof material. They go up so easily without any soldering. And they look really handsome, forever, without painting. Make a resolution now to put up Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum gutters. See your local dealer or write to the Reynolds Metals Company, Louisville 1, Kentucky. Year after year, a certain citizen of Wistful Vista has tried to wangle an invitation to the New Year's Eve dance at the country club with no luck. But today is different. Because look who's bursting through the front door now with a loud mouthful of happy talk as we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Molly.
Here I am, McGee. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Everything's right. Kiddo, I'm carrying the biggest piece of news since Paul Revere left the livery stable. We are going to the dance at the country club tonight.
You're joshing.
I'm not joshing. Not only that, my dear. We're going as old man McDonald, the president of the Third National Bank, and his wife's guests.
Oh, McGee.
Yes, sir.
I've been dreaming of that country club dance for years.
Well, this is it.
Well, now, if this turns out to be a joke by the Seven Sisters of Maud Murphy, you'll regret it.
You just listen, kiddo. I'll tell you how it happened. I was driving back this morning from two holes of golf.
Yeah?
I lost my ball on the 30. And there stalled beside the road was old man McDonald's car. You know, that big black limousine that looks like it's on its way to a gangster funeral.
I know the one.
Well, old man McDonald had his head in the hood, see? And he was littering the highway with dirty spark plugs and dirtier language. Well, I stopped and went over to him.
Friendly, was he?
Well, we exchanged greetings. I said, having trouble? He said, no, I stopped here for a picnic, you idiot.
This begins to have the ring of truth, McGee. Go on.
Finally, he yanked out the carburetor and threw it at a nearby gopher, and we got to talking.
What'd he say?
He said he started for the country club on account of he was chairman of the dance committee and wanted to check the decorations.
Now I see. You drove him to the club.
Right. There and back. Oh, he was real grateful, kiddo. Softened up like a bar of soap in a Turkish bath.
And that's when he invited us to the dance,
yeah,
huh?
While we were out at the club. He even gave me one of his special Corona Valuna cigars. You know, the kind he only hands out to personal friends about the size of a salami.
Well, you never mind the Corona Bologna now. We're really going to the country club,
you
right?
Betcha. We're mixing with the Elite tonight, baby. And you'll be the belle of the ball. That's what you'll be, the Bella.
Oh. Oh, McGee, it's like a wonderful dream.
Yeah, me too.
For years, we've tried to get invited to that dance.
Yeah.
Say, you don't think we'll be snubbed when we get there?
Them snobs snub us? You're the guy that old man McDonald gave a Corona Valuna cigar to, his wife. That means we're in, kiddo. This is it. The rest of them may be the upper crust, but old man McDonald is the caraway seed on the top of it. Why, with him behind us, Molly, we...
Come in.
Hi, daughter. Hi, Johnny. Hello there, kids.
Well, hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hi, Oldtimer.
What you doing for New Year's Eve, kids?
Oh.
Want to come out with me and throw rocks at the street lamps?
Not us. We're going to the dance at the country club, boy.
Oh, too bad. I was counting on you.
Yeah?
I ain't had a real big New Year's Eve since I was with that old gang of mine.
Oh, dear.
I sure miss them kids.
Really?
Gee, but I'd give the world to see that old gang of...
Oh, wait a minute. Don't get carried away.
Ah, what a great old gang.
Yeah?
There was Eddie and Jim and Teddy and Slim. There was Iggy and Mike and Piggy and Hortense Mandelbaum.
Hortense Mandelbaum. Why would she want to be in the gang?
Just got tired of being a campfire girl. One we had on New Year's Eve.
Yeah?
The old gang had us a two-piece band, kid.
Yeah?
And every year we played for the dance at the Daughters of the Volunteer Firemen's Hall.
A two-piece band, huh? Must have been pretty sad music with just two instruments.
Oh, we had plenty of instruments, Johnny.
Oh?
But we could only play two pieces.
Yeah.
Old Lang Syne and John Brown's body lies a moldering in the grave.
And you played those two all evening?
Nope. We saved Auld Lang Syne until midnight. The rest of the time, John Brown's soul went marching on at different speeds.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't there to hear that.
Johnny, until you've heard John Brown's body played as a rumba, you just ain't lived. It was cool, man.
Real George, eh?
Well, I'm sure it was delightful.
One year we figured out a special stunt.
Yeah?
I dressed up as the New Year's baby with a bed sheet wrapped around my middle.
Well, that's a novel idea.
At midnight, the crowd stopped dancing. The boys struck up, "Should Old Acquaintance Be Forgot." I walked out on the stage, and the end of my sheet got caught in a xylophone.
And you kept walking?
Yep, and my sheet kept unwinding.
Yeah.
I was one old acquaintance that crowd never forgot. Happy New Year!
Billy Mills and the Orchestra and Glowworm.
About tonight, McGee.
Yeah, you said it, me too.
The country club dance at last.
Yeah.
Ah, that's high society.
Yeah. You stick with me, Tootsie, and I'll get you into society so high your nose will bleed.
My, I've just got a million things to do this afternoon.
Yeah?
I'll go to the beauty shop.
No, I'll go to the barber shop.
Oh, I can't wait to spread the word around at the beauty shop.
Yeah, I'll spread the word around at the barber shop, too. And the Elks Club, and Kramer's Drugstore. And any place else I can trap an audience. Boy, will I tell Doc Gamble.
Oh, when I tell Mabel, too. Who's that?
Oh, looks like the kid from Kramer's Drugstore. Come in.
Hello, Ed. Come in.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hi, Mr. McGee.
Oh, hi, Eddie.
I can't stay but a minute. I was out delivering stuff for Mr. Kramer this morning, and I lost something somewhere, so I was kind of backtracking.
Well, you didn't come here today, Ed.
Well, I didn't think so, but gosh, I stopped to see my new girl for a minute this morning, and I kind of got absent-minded. Mr. Kramer was pretty sore when I came back without it.
What, Ed? What'd you lose?
His truck.
I left it someplace.
My gosh, boy, you must have got absent-minded.
Sounds like quite a girl, Ed.
Oh, Virginia's real dreamy, Mrs. McGee.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. We're going to the football game tomorrow. Wistful Vista College plays Slow Rapids Agricultural in the Rhubarb Bowl.
Well, that ought to be a titanic struggle.
Well, Virginia's one of the cheerleaders. Twirls the baton, too.
Oh.
Sounds like a talented girl.
Oh, sure is. Her girlfriends claim that she's got a swelled head, but she hasn't really.
Oh.
It's just a little lumpy from the baton falling on her. Oh, I wish you could come to the game tomorrow and watch her work.
Well, we'll be out late tonight, Edward. The country club dance, you know.
Oh, you should see her go. Oh, she sort of throws her head back and her golden curls kind of stream out in the breeze. And she opens her little rosebud mouth and says, "Break their backs! Break their necks! Turn them into total wrecks!" Gee.
Yeah. Sounds very glamorous, Ed. You think the team will win tomorrow?
Well, we could, Mr. McGee. We haven't won a game this year so far.
My goodness, must be a pretty terrible team.
No, we got some darn good players in there. There's a halfback named Crazy Legs Brown, who's a great runner, and an end named Crazy Hands Jones, who's a great pass catcher.
Well, then how come they never win a game?
Well, I think it's the fault of the quarterback, the way he calls the signal.
Oh?
His name is Crazy Head Smith. Well, I better get back to Virginia's. Back to Kramer's. Goodbye now.
Yeah, well, so long, Ed.
Isn't he cute, McGee?
Yeah.
You know, when those youngsters fall in love, they really forget everything.
Mr. McGee, excuse me.
Yeah, Ed?
What did I come by here for?
Kramer's truck, remember?
Oh, that's right. I lost it. Yeah. Thanks.
Where were we when he came in?
Well, we were talking about all the things I have to do this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Take your tux to have it cleaned.
Yeah.
Go to the beauty shop. Say, do you think I ought to wear a corsage tonight?
Not with your figure, kiddo. You don't have to strap yourself into one of them whalebone jackets.
McGee, a corsage is a bunch of flowers.
Oh, corsage. Oh, sure, I'll get you some flowers. Yeah, not a little dinky bunch either. How'd you like a double chrysanthemum to stick in your hair? Or maybe a horseshoe of roses to hang around your neck?
No, dearie, all I want is an orchid. Just one teeny orchid.
Oh, just one orchid. Okay, if you sell... Hey, I'll call Bagley's Flower Shop and tell them to send one over right away. Hello, operator. Give me Bagley's Flower Shop. That's B-A-G. Is that you, Mert?
Oh,
yeah. How's every little thing, Mert? It is, eh? What's that, Mert? Your brother went hunting. Oh, shot a wild lion down, eh?
He was shooting wild lions in Africa?
No, ducks at Dugan's Lake. Shot standing up for a while, and then he shot a wild lion down. What's that, Mert? Yeah, well, I didn't do it right anyway. Okay. Line's busy. I'll call him later.
We can stop by there. You better get the car out and I'll put on my face.
Okay.
Hello, Molly. Hi, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. I'd ask you to sit down, except for two things. One, you're already sitting down, and two, get up. We're getting ready to leave.
We are going to the country club dance, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I and Molly are going to be the guests tonight of old man and Mrs. McDonald, the banking family, you know.
Oh, yeah. Say, that's a pretty fancy crowd, that country club set.
Yeah, my friend Mac was telling me they're leaving next week for a vacation trip, Junior. Wanted me to come along, but he didn't say so.
His friend Mac, that's Mr. Old Man McDonald.
Well, say, I could tell him about a wonderful spot, pal.
Yeah?
One of the most beautiful winter vacation places of all. The island of Jamaica in the West Indies.
Jamaica, huh? Well, come on, Molly, let's get
the going. Winter vacationer will find everything in Jamaica, kids. Golden beaches, palm trees, luxurious hotels. You can get a travel folder on Jamaica by just writing for it, pal.
Oh, you can?
Sure. All you do is write Jamaica on a postcard with your name and address and send it to Box 319, Radio City, New York 20, New York. That's Box 319, Radio City, New York, New York. You'll not only find a beautiful vacation spot, but you'll find something else that's very important, too.
What's that, Mr. Wilcox?
Bauxite.
You got indigestion, son?
Bauxite, pal, is the ore from which aluminum is made.
Oh, you're always sticking your ore in, Junior.
You see, Jamaica has the world's largest deposits of bauxite.
Don't I?
Yes, and Reynolds' Jamaica mines limit that... Reynolds Jamaica Mines Limited has pioneered in their development.
Now he's sneaking the Reynolds boys in by way of Jamaica. Come on, let's sneak out of here, Molly. We gotta get...
The Reynolds Metals Company is building a huge new processing plant near Corpus Christi, Texas, right now, to take care of that Jamaica bauxite.
Oh?
They already have an aluminum plant there with a capacity of 160 million pounds a year.
Well, I'm glad they're getting a new one. Must have been awful cramped in that little old 160 million joint. Well, grab your hat, Molly. We got
to... Wait a minute. At Arkadelphia, Arkansas, another new Reynolds aluminum plant will add 120 million pounds yearly.
Hardly worth mentioning. Grab your tux.
Yeah, in 1953, the Reynolds Metals Company will reach a total production capacity of 829 million pounds a year.
Wow.
Think of it. 829 million pounds of aluminum.
Yeah, that ain't tin. Well, grab your coat, Molly. We got
to
get...
Well, that's Reynolds' New Year's report to the nation.
Yeah.
More aluminum. More vitally needed aluminum.
Yeah.
You want more figures? More statistics?
No. Just more silence. That's McGee's New Year's report to Wilcox. More silence. More vitally needed silence.
Somewhere back there, you mentioned Jamaica, Mr. Wilcox. It sounds lovely, and if any of those country club people mention winter vacations, I'll see that McGee tells them where to go.
Well, I hope he gets a chance before they tell him where to go. So long, kid.
Well, I'll back the car out, Molly. You put on your coat and let's get on down.
Let's see, I left my evening slippers at the shoe shop. Your tux will be ready. Oh, there's Mrs. Spradley's limousine.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Mrs. Spradley. See you at the country club dance tonight. Her car windows were closed.
Yeah. Going 40 miles an hour, too. What were you saying?
I say your tux will be ready when we start home.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Well, season's greetings, my dear. Hiya, clodhead.
Hello, Satchel Bottom. I'd like to stop and gab with you, but I find it too dull. So long.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the hurry?
Tell him, Molly, tell him.
Well, you'll be interested to know that we're going to the country club dance tonight, Doc.
Oh? Well, congratulations. I didn't know you moved in those circles.
Well, we will from now on, Beltbuster. Must seem pretty impressive to a guy that the only circles he moves in are the ones his tummy makes as he waddles along on his little duck feet.
Where'd you get the invitation, Molly? It was you they invited, of course.
It was not.
Oh?
For your information, and boy, do I love to do this to you. Old man McDonald asked me.
Good heavens, that twitch of his must be worse than I thought. Seemed all right yesterday, but I better go
and see
him.
Now, wait a minute. Quit crying, you big faker. Look how scared he is, Molly. He's afraid I'll start taking my business to Dr. Goldenrod, you know, the society doctor. But don't worry, little boy, don't worry. I'll still drop into your humble office now and then and let you give me a check.
Oh, thank you. That's more than you've given me since 1939.
You'll probably see our pictures in the society news tomorrow, Fatso. That country club bunch is my type of people, you know.
My heart bleeds for them.
I like the type of people that know how to enjoy living. There's some very high livers in that crowd, boy.
Yes, and some very low stomachs.
Come on, Molly. Goodbye. Go on.
Bye, Doctor.
The King's Men with Wonderful Copenhagen and No Two People.
Copenhagen,
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 wonderful, 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 Copenhagen, friendly old girl of a town. Neath her tavern light on this merry night, let us clink and drink one down. To wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen, saw the old queen of the sea. Once I sailed away, but I'm home today, singing Copenhagen, wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen for me. Wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen, what a town, what a sweet, wonderful town. What a merry, merry sight on this merry, merry night. Let us clink and drink one down.
Come on and drink her down too.
Wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen, saw the old queen of the sea. Once I sailed away, away, but I'm home again today, in the arms of the only one I love.
No two people of
ever been so in love.
Been so in love.
Been so in love. I'm telling you, no two people have ever been so in love. With my lovey-dove and me. Mrs. Unique, the positive peak.
We are the most unusual couple in
No two people have ever mooned such a moon.
June, such a June. Spoon, such a spoon.
I mean to say, no two people have ever been so in tune. As my macaroon and I. And when we kiss,
and when we kiss,
and when we kiss,
and when we kiss, it's historical, hysterical, cataclysmic.
Wow.
No two people have ever been so in love, been so in love, been so in love as we. No wonder it's wonderful here in Copenhagen.
Hurry up, dearie. I'm due at the beauty shop.
Yeah, I want to get that barbershop. Wait. I want to tell Ole about tonight. Hey, Ole. Hi, boy.
Hello, missus. You too, McGee.
Hello, Ole.
We haven't got time to stop and talk, Ole. We're going to the country club dance.
Well, I didn't holler at you, McGee. You was the fella that hollered at me.
Yeah, well, I
was just stood in here sweeping off the Elks Club steps, and you hollered, hey, Ole. Hi, boy. Ain't that so, missus?
That's right, Ole.
Yeah. And don't call me boy.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I and Molly...
Move the feet, McGee. I'm sleeping.
Well, anyhow, I and Molly are going to the country club dance tonight with my old friend, Old Man McDonald.
Your old friend?
Yeah.
That's the Old Man McDonald that last week you left your umbrella in the chair, and after he sat on it, he chased you clear around the lobby trying to stab you with it? That old friend?
Well, we were just playing.
Maybe you were playing, but if I didn't trip McDonald with a pool cue, I'd be one of your pallbearers, no? Pete, McGee.
Huh? Oh. Well, if anybody's looking for me around here tonight, Ole, you know, Wimp or Mort Toops or anybody, just tell them I and Molly are at the country club dance, will you?
Give your wife my regards, Ole, and Happy New Year to you both.
Well, thank you, Mrs. And to you, I say Happy New Year, too. And to you, McGee, all I can say is move the cockeyed feet. Oh.
So, if you give me a good job of barbering, Frank, I'll throw all my friends at the country club's business your way. Hey, watch that razor, boy. I got tender ears.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Give me another hot towel first. I figure a guy ought to look his best for a country club dance. My wife's over at the beauty shop getting works. Like I said to my old friend, Old Man McDonald, you call that a hot towel, Frank? Give me a hot one.
Yes, sir.
Mac, I said, if I was you, I'd take the $40 million and I'd have me invest it for you. Because I...
Hot towel.
Now!
Now, just relax, Mrs. McGee, and I'll give you your facial.
All right, go ahead.
I'll pack the cream firmly into the skin, dear.
When we get to the country club dance tonight with Mr. and Mrs. McDonald, I want to look my best.
Oh, you will, dear. Your skin is just a little dry, but...
Well, I'm sure you'll fix it beautifully. You did such a wonderful job on my friend Mabel Toots. When she came in here last week, her face looked like a cheap alligator purse.
Yes, I remember.
But when you got through with her, it looked like fine expensive leather.
There you are, Mr. McGee. Shave, haircut, and a singe. Anything else?
Yeah. Douse me with the most expensive-smelling stuff you got in the shop, Frank.
Yes, sir. Coming up.
You about ready to go, McGee? It's 6:30.
Any minute, kiddo. Well, come on. Slap it on, Frank. Ah. Boy, that smells great. Hey, Molly, can you smell it?
Oh, indeed I can, dearie.
Yeah. Back up about 3 steps, will you? You smell it now?
Yes, I can.
Well, back up a little more. You still smell it?
No, I can't smell it outside here.
Well, come on, douse me again, bud. I want them country clubbers to know I'm coming the minute I hit the driveway. Red, the dead red, these bow ties anyhow. Collar keeps popping open and... There. If I can keep that collar closed till I get my tie tied now.
Well, I'm all ready to go, McGee. How do I look? What time is it and how are you doing?
Well, beautiful, 8:30 and awful. I can't get my bow tie tied.
Here, let Mother do it. Hold your chin up.
Mm.
Now hold up the other one. That's it. it. Men don't know how to tie ties.
Well, I...
There you are. Ah, you look so handsome.
Oh, sure.
What an evening this will be. That was certainly a lucky break this morning when Mr. McDonald's car broke down.
Yeah, well, I'll get your coat.
How does my dress look in the back, all right?
Oh, it looks wonderful.
Oh.
You'll be the darling of the social set tonight.
Oh?
If you could have saw me walking around that country club this morning, waving that Corona Valuna cigar and criticizing the decorations, you'd have been so proud. Ah, just when we're trying to leave. Come in.
Hey, daughter. Hey, Johnny, did you hear the news? A fire, a big fire.
Fire?
Where?
I just come from watching it, kid.
Where?
The country club. Burned to the ground.
Oh! No!
The country club? Why, that can't burn down. We're going up.
Oh, it was quite a sight, kids. Clean to the ground.
Oh, this is awful. Do they know what caused it?
The insurance people are working on it now, son.
Yeah?
Seems like somebody laid a Corona Balloon cigar down this morning and found a pile of decorations. Smoldered a while.
Oh, this is just sickening.
Burn clean to the ground.
River and Molly return in a moment. To all of you, when you sing Auld Lang Syne tomorrow night, we hope you are surrounded by good friends, by old acquaintances who should not be forgot. That's the human side of living. But in material things, what you look for always is the new, the better way. And in your kitchen, in all your cooking and food keeping, that means Reynolds Wrap, the original and genuine, the pure aluminum foil. Make sure you start the new year right by stocking up on Reynolds Wrap at your grocer's. He has it in standard 25-foot rolls and in jumbo economy rolls, 75 feet. Ask for it by name, Reynolds Wrap. Made by the world's largest producers of aluminum foil, the Reynolds Metals Company.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you have better luck with your New Year's Eve plans than Molly and I did.
Yes, but whatever your plans for seeing the new year in, please be careful.
And whatever you do, drive carefully.
Please drive carefully. Don't get hurt. It's not a very happy new year when you look at it from a hospital bed.
Good night, and happy new year.
Good night, Al.
The Reynolds Metals Company, pioneers of progress through aluminum, brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly each week at this time. Reynolds Aluminum also brings you Mr. Peepers, starring Wally Cox on NBC Television Sunday nights. See your local paper for time and channel. And don't forget to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Transcribed. Tonight, play two for the money with Herb Schreiner on NBC.
Now that was some terrific holiday comedy. You just heard New Year's Dance at the Country Club from the series Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The episode was first heard on the evening of Tuesday, December 30th, 1952, on NBC Radio. I'm afraid it's almost time to part ways again, but tune in next week for another episode of Old Parlor Radio. If you wish to send me your feedback, you may write me at Old Parlor Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. You may also email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com. From the CFS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Happy New Year.